Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtyatya Deshatarane Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goratvishe Namaha Klimadvaitaya Namaha Klimadvaitaya Namaha Klimadvaitaya Namaha Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagad Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jai Dvaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One of my avid followers requested that I speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. So, the subject matter is the second item of devotional service. When the boy saint Prahlad Maharaj was questioned by his demoniac father, Hiranyakashipu, the demon king asked his five-year-old son, "What is the best thing you have learned from your teachers, Shanda and Namarka?" And the boy replied, Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam Iti Pungsarpita Vishnu Bhaktishchain Navalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavatyadha Tanmanye Ditam Uttamam. The boy replied to his father that in his consideration, the topmost education is known as Bhakti Yoga. And this Bhakti Yoga comes in 9 different forms. And the first 2 are most essential because without sufficient performance of the first 2 items, the other 7 items cannot be executed. And the great Acharya Gauranga Mahaprabhu has stressed that in this age of Kali, the first 2 items, Sravanam, Kirtanam, hearing and chanting about God, Vishnu, has to be done loudly and as continuously, as much as possible. So, the first item is hearing, which you are doing right now. You are hearing the message of Godhead. This is the proper function of the ear. If the ear does not hear transcendental sound vibration, then the ear has become asati, unchaste. But when the hearing process is engaged in topics of Uttama Shloka. Can you all say? Uttama Shloka means that person who is described by the finest poetry and he is the topmost, Purushottama, God, Krishna, Govinda, Vasudev. He has innumerable names, but we're talking about the Supreme Being. God is one. So, hearing about topics of Godhead is the proper function of the ear. But the subject matter for tonight is the second process of kirtaniya, or chanting. Chanting about the name, fame, form, qualities, pastimes, teachings, anything having to do with Krishna, Govinda. That is called Hari Kirtan. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, it is recommended that intelligent persons, they will engage in this process of chanting and glorifying God. You must be intelligent. Those who are not intelligent, they reject this process of chanting. But those who are intelligent, the exact word used in the Bhagavatam, sumedasa, brain substance, very big. In the Bhagavad Gita, we have the opposite word, alpa medasa, meaning brain substance, meager, very little. You can find that word in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Certain kinds of worshippers are described by Krishna as alpa medasa, less intelligent. But those who are sumedasa, they fully embrace this process of hearing and chanting. As Prahlad told his father, the king of the demons, he was fearless. Why he was fearless is explained in this first excerpt. What I have done over the years, I have gone through the entire Srimad Bhagavatam and I have extracted all the shlokas that deal with this subject of kirtan. This is how I spend my day, putting together different classes and topics and themes. So this is my favorite of all the topics. I want to thank the devotee who inspired me to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. May Krishna bless that person more and more. Let us begin. Please raise your hands. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the first excerpt is from the first canto. And the verse is as follows, the Sanskrit. Srimad Bhagavatam is in the Sanskrit language. Apana sanskritin ghorang yannama vivasho grinan tatak sadyo vimuchyeta yad bibeti svayang bhayam. So, the Bhagavatam opens. The scene is Naimisharanya, at the dawn of the age of Kali. According to the Bhagavatam, the age of Kali began the day Krishna left this planet and returned to his abode in the spiritual world. There are several of those verses which directly state that that is the date Kali Yuga began. Because when Krishna left, with him left religion, morality, piety, all the good things left. So the age of Kali is the dark age, the age inauspicious. So the sages of Naimisharanya gathered in a big congress, and they wanted to perform sacrifice for 1,000 years. And they selected Suta Goswami as their acharya. The sages of Naimisharanya, their leader, Shaunaka Muni. So through Shaunaka, they are inquiring on Srimad Bhagavatam, because that is how they intend to do sacrifice. Not just the Homa, but their thousand-year sacrifice was to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And why they selected Sutta, one of the reasons was that Sutta was there at the original recitation when Shukadev spoke to Maharaj Parikshit. He was there. And just before Shukadev left, and just before Parikshit was burnt up by the Takshaka snake bird, Shukadev predicted, and he told the audience, that here is this Suta Goswami, and in the future, he will speak this Srimad Bhagavatam, which I have just spoken. And that prediction came true, and so the Bhagavatam opens in the scene of Naimisharanya. So this is one of the opening statements that the sages posed. They said, living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately even by unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. So this age of Kali is definitely an entangling age. The living being in the age of Kali is entangled in a network of fruitive actions. The living entity is performing fruitive actions because he's trying to get out of his suffering condition. Everyone in the material world is like a prisoner. And since we are prisoners, we are suffering to a lesser or greater degree. But whether you're the richest man or whether you're the poorest man, everyone is suffering. What are those sufferings? Adhyatmik, adibhotik, adidaivik. Right now on the East Coast, blistering cold. They're suffering. We have it nice here in California, don't we? Today was a beautiful day. But you go 3,000 miles, freezing, freezing, freezing cold. And what are they doing? They're doing everything they can to combat that adidaivik. Because those who are followers of Bhagavatam understand that all the environmental conditions are imposed upon us by the devatas. And another reason that we are seeing unusual climatic events is because the age of Kali, the people are sinful. And because people are committing more and more sins, the devatas are punishing the earth with more and more stringent weather conditions. So, whether you're hot or cold or this or that, everyone is trying to combat the sufferings, the other sufferings. Adibhotik, your own body and mind gives you trouble. Those of us now, we're in our 60s, we know what's happening. When you're a young boy, you have energy, You can jump and play, but as you get older, the vision goes, the stamina goes. Gray, ladies know, gray hair, get the henna, right? Wrinkles, the teeth get loose, and little by little, the organs are breaking down. Little by little, the word used in Bhagavatam, imperceptibly. I remember very well. One day I woke up. Oh my God, I have gray hair. How did that happen? How did that happen? One day, just like that. Imperceptibly, the body and mind. So we have to deal with the body and mind. So much trouble. We're going to see doctors. It's expensive, isn't it? Just because of the nature of the machine. And then there is sufferings of other living entities that we're seeing every day on the news. Nobody's getting along. Everywhere in the world, fight, 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 fight. Aggression. Where is there peace? Even sometimes, even within the family, there's fighting going on. Not you. Others. It's there. I know. So it's the nature of the age. So everyone is entangled. And the meshes of birth and death. Samsara. I have to go through it again and again and again until we have learned the final lesson and passed the examination. But notice what the sages know. You may be entangled. Okay, you can be freed immediately by chanting the holy name Krishna. Everybody say, please. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. And it says, even unconsciously, so you cannot overestimate, you cannot over-glorify this whole chanting process. Now, the last line, which is feared by fear personified. I began by saying Prahlad. The 5-year-old boy was not afraid to speak directly to his father. In a previous conversation, the father asked the same question, and the boy said to his father, "O best of the demons, in my opinion, you're wasting your life. You should go to the forest. Actually, you should go to Vrindavan and retire from your demoniac business." You imagine your son saying that to you, "Father, O best of demons, you're wasting your..." But why this young boy can speak so boldly? Because he understands the name of Krishna is feared by fear. There he is. Hiranyakashipu is fear personified. He terrorized all the devatas. He was sitting on Indra's throne. All the devatas were hiding from him. Because whenever Hiranyakashipu would see the devatas, he would berate them. He would chastise them. So they were all hiding themselves in fear of this Hiranyakashipu. But not the boy, fearless. Last month I sang that song. Bhaja hure mana sri nandanandana abhay charanara vindade. So when you take to this chanting, When you take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, what is the sign? You become fearless in the face of danger. I have personal experience of this. Somebody pulling a gun on me, and I simply, Hare Krishna, and he ran away. And I had just started chanting. I only been chanting maybe a few weeks. And I know many other stories. The name of Krishna is feared by fear personified. Let's go to the next verse. Srinvatang svakata Krishna punya sravana kirtanaha hridyanta stokhi abhadrani vidhu noti suritsatam. This verse appears in the second chapter of the first canto. All the verses tonight are in the first canto. So, after the sages of Naimisharanya, they posed six questions to Suta Goswami. So in chapter 2, he begins to answer their six questions that they posed to him. Here is one of Suta Goswami's explanations. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee. The devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So the first point, Krishna is the personality of Godhead, the absolute truth. One of the previous statements of Suta Goswami, he was asked, what is the absolute truth? So he gave the definition. Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. Suta told the sages, the absolute truth is one, but it has three distinct features. And those features are appreciated according to the strength of your realization. The first realization of the absolute truth is the all-pervasive Brahman, or spiritual aspect, which everything rests on. The more advanced understanding of the absolute truth is understanding Paramatma, God in your heart. In your heart, there is you, Atma, and next door, Paramatma. And according to Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study of Srimad Bhagavatam, unless you have understood the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam will not make sense. But if you have firm understanding of Gita, now you can go to the higher level, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there are two knowers of the field. This is 13th chapter. Kshetra, Kshetragya. The field, the knower of the field. What's the field? The body. The knower of the field is two. Atma, Paramatma. They're not the same. They are two distinct. And how does Krishna define? He says, the Atma knows its particular field of activities. Just as Narendra knows what's going on in his body. I have no idea. Everybody knows what's going on in their body. Nobody else knows. Only you know. But Krishna says, but me, I know what's going on in everyone's body. That's why we're not God. If I was God, I would know what you're thinking. I would know what you're feeling. But I'm not God. Krishna is God. And he says in 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I know what's going on in everyone's field of activities or body. So realizing that Paramatma Supersoul is the second stage of realization of absolute truth. And then the third, ultimate stage, Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the personality, the person, either as Narayan, Vishnu, or Krishna. Here in this temple, Bhagavan is right there, front and center. He's not going anywhere. Whether it be the new temple or whatever temple, that's where he's staying. Center. Why? Because he is Bhagavan. He is the supreme absolute truth. Within him is Brahman and Paramatma. Brahman and Paramatma is partial realization of absolute truth. But when you realize Krishna, you have complete understanding of the absolute truth. So, Suta Goswami is clarifying. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, he is Paramatma in everyone's heart. Nobody is excluded. Now this next line is very nice. Benefactor of the truthful devotee. This word Prabhupada used to translate benefactor. Benefactor means somebody who's interested in building your account. Benefactor. Like I'm sure for your children and grandchildren, you have set aside some funds so that after you die, they will get some of the funds. Am I right? You have that for your sons. People do that. So that's a benefactor. So Krishna, according to Suta Goswami, Krishna is also a benefactor, but of who? The truthful devotee. Now, truthful devotee, besides the obvious connotation, the devotee, like the symptoms of a Brahmin, Shamo, Damas, Tapakshaucham, Shantir, Arjavam. All right? But the other context of truthful devotee means that devotee has no ultimate agenda or separate agenda. You know people like this. You've met them. They're very smiley. They're very nice to you, but you know they want something. They're not coming out of love or friendship. See, that means that person has an agenda. He's not coming clean. So the truthful devotee is one who approaches Krishna, but there's no hidden agenda. He's coming to Krishna clean, without any motive, only out of love, or in the beginning stage, out of duty. Before there can be love, you have to first come to the mode of goodness, so you worship Krishna out of duty. Then later, love develops. So what does Krishna do for the truthful devotee? Cleanses desire for material enjoyment. This is the whole problem. In our heart, we have lifetimes and lifetimes of material desires stocked. And at a certain point, Krishna in the heart reminds you, a couple of lifetimes ago, you wanted to do something. Now you can do it. That's why you experience, all of a sudden something comes. Like this morning, I went for a walk with my wife, and then all of a sudden something came out, and she said, "Where did that come from?" I said, "Just came." Because that's the way Krishna works. We've had lifetimes and lifetimes of desires. Okay, it takes time. Krishna has to set everything up. Then he says, "Okay, here's your opportunity. You want to take it, or you want, what do you want to do?" It's like a menu. The waiter comes with the menu. Okay. So our desires are like that. So what does Krishna do? Cleanses the desire for material enjoyment. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Savasya Chaham Riddhi Sani Vishta Matak Smritir Gyanam Apohanancha. So Krishna says, in your heart, me, I am the one causing you to know, causing you to remember, and causing you to forget also. So for the devotee, what does Krishna do? Krishna helps you to remember him and helps you to forget your material desires. And for the non-devotee, what does Krishna do? Causes him to remember his material desires and forget Krishna. Krishna is neutral. It's how you want. How do you want to approach Krishna? Some people want nothing to do with Krishna. Krishna says, "Fine. You don't want anything to do with me? I'll help you." But as soon as you show any interest to approach Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. So, now, it says here that the truthful devotee is one who has developed the urge to hear the message of Krishna. That's another symptom that you are a sincere devotee. Like, we all have interests. We're all individuals. So some people, their interest is sports. Some people, it's politics, especially now. Some people, that's their thing. They're constantly checking politics. Or maybe it's business, the stock market. I know people like that. Every day, they're constantly looking at the stock market. If it goes down, it goes up, So everybody has interests. A devotee, you know you're a devotee because you have developed the urge to hear the message of Krishna. You can test your own pulse, Shishi Radharaman Bhagavan Ki Jai. You ask yourself, where does your interest lie? Where does my interest lie? Is it lie in Bollywood? Or does it lie in, I want to spend more time hearing the message of Godhead? Here you are. It's Sunday. Tomorrow, well, tomorrow's holiday, right? No? For some people. So, it's a Sunday. People want to relax and enjoy. But you made a different decision. You decided, no, I will come to the temple and I will hear the message of Godhead. Therefore, Krishna is right now blessing you. You can take that to the bank. According to this verse, right now, Krishna is blessing you. Why? You're hearing his message. Bhagavatam is the message of Krishna. And it says here, such hearing is virtuous. It's full of virtue. When you watch television or movie, it's mixed. There may be some virtue, but there's also a lot of vice. And it's done very artistically. And the person doesn't even know. And I'm 65 years old, so I know what television and movie was like in the 50s, then in the 60s. They're always pushing that envelope. Nowadays, what's on television back when I was a child would be unheard of. What has happened? Kali Yuga has happened. And you know better than me how India was 50 years ago. I remember going to India in 1975. And now India now, it's completely different country, is it not? Well, not only that, but the contamination has come in. I know. I went in 1975. I went in 76. Then I didn't go until 1988. When I went to 1988, I got, this is not Vrindavan. What happened? Things are changing. Kali Yuga is progressing. Television, movies, and Prabhupada used to point this out when he would preach. Not me. Prabhupada used to say, in India, you're going after the Western American thing, but you're losing your culture. Right? Prabhupada used to preach like that. When he came to America, we already lost our culture, there was no need to point it out. But when he would preach in India, he would warn them, you're chasing after technology, you're chasing after imitating America, money, 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 but you're losing your culture. And we've seen. And I've heard from many of you what has transpired over the years. So, you come to the temple, that is the best thing you can do on a Sunday night. You can't do anything better. Trust me, the best thing you can do on a Sunday night is come to this temple, see the deities, take prasadam, hear the message of Godhead. And Krishna becomes your benefactor. All right. And then it says, when properly heard and chanted. So properly heard and chanted means respect, attentive, turning the cell phones off, paying attention. Yes, well, of course, obviously. All right, let's do one more verse. This is from the fifth chapter. Idang hi pungsastapasha srutasya va svatasya suktasya cha buddhi datayo avichutartha kavibir nirupito yad uttama shloka gunarnuvarnanam. We already chanted that word. Uttama shloka, everybody. My style of preaching, which I've developed over the years, whenever the name of God is there, I get you to repeat it. Because by chanting the name of God, you become blessed. Many of you come up after and get blessings. That's nice. But you can get your own blessings anytime you want. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Bless yourselves. You can bless yourself anytime. That's the whole point of this lecture series that I'm going to do. So this verse, one of my chapters that I like. Narada instructs Vyas. At the early stages of Kali Yuga, Vyasadeva is in his hut on the bank of the river. And one day, rising early, performing his daily sadhana or spiritual practices, he comes to the point his mind is disturbed. Something's not right. And because Vyasadeva is Mahamuni, the great thinker, he sort of knows what's the problem. But at that moment, his guru comes. Narad Muni Bhajai Vina Radhika Ramana Name. Just like we chant Radha Raman, Narada Muni has an instrument, and when he plucks the strings, it says Radha Raman, Radhika Raman. What an instrument, huh? We play guitar or tambura, right? It goes ding, ding, ding. But Narada Muni, why his instrument does like that? Because he didn't get his instrument at Loy Bazaar. His instrument was given to him by Krishna himself. Who would want, I would want that instrument. That veena came from Krishna, and when he strokes the string, Radhika Raman, Radhika Raman. So Narada is never in Maya. Why? Because that tambura is always with him. And wherever he goes, he's flying. Radhi. Or I know I've seen some movies, the Hindi movies, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. I've seen. But, so when Vyasadeva is in this dilemma, Narada just happens to come. That's called in English serendipity. When you need the right thing, the thing you need most, boom, just appears. Serendipity. So there's a long discussion. It takes two chapters in the first canto. Very nice section of Bhagavatam. First canto, chapters 5 and 6. Discussion between Narada and Vyas. So one of the things Narada said, Narada says, learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, so now he's going to explain, what is the infallible purpose of advancement of knowledge? What does he say? Austerities. That's real, that's how you get knowledge, by performing austerity. Study of the Vedas. Sacrifice. Chanting of hymns. Giving charity. Like right now, temple here is doing everything they can to get the congregation to give charity for the new temple. Am I right? And that is first class charity. There's charity in the mode of ignorance, charity in the mode of passion, charity in the mode of goodness. When you donate to the construction of a temple, it's right there in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the instruction of Krishna. Temples and gardens should be constructed. Are we going to have a garden for the deities? There should be a garden for the deities, so they have their own flowers that nobody can pick or smell. Should be. That's very important according to what Krishna told Uddhava. So, that is the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge. But it culminates, because everything you do, there has to be some kind of fruit. Like, we go to work, we tolerate the 4:05 or the 5, and like my wife has to spend an hour and a half going to Century City and coming home sometimes at night, 2 hours. Right? It's a hassle. But what is she doing in the car? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So she's okay. She's smart. She says, I'm locked in the car, no problem. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So we tolerate that work or going to work. Why? We want to see some fruit, that bi-monthly paycheck. No paycheck? Sorry. No work. Nobody's going to the boss and saying, boss, I'm going to work for you because I love you. You don't have to pay me. If you have that kind of boss, that kind of worker, don't let him go. But you're not going to find that. Everybody's working because they want that fruit. It's called fruitive activity. Work, you pay. And that's how the material world goes on. But this advancement of knowledge culminates in transcendental descriptions of the Lord. So that is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental descriptions of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. That's why I explained before. Uttama Shloka. That's like, what's today? Valentine's Day. So everybody was finding the right card with the right message, the flowers, the chocolate, and giving it to their beloved, their imitation Radha. Right? That's Valentine's Day. Everybody gets to play Rasalila. Imitation. So that card, you want to make sure it says the right thing. You just don't go, give me only any card. No. Has to be the right card. And then you select that right card and you give to your... So what to speak God when they're going to, when the sages, Vyasadeva, Shukadeva, when they're going to write to God about God, they're going to be very, very careful of the wording. Just like if you're going to enter into a business contract, a lawyer has to get involved. And that lawyer, what's his job? Go over the contract, make sure there's no loopholes. That's why you pay the lawyer. Because if you overlooked, especially the fine print, right? As we say in America, the devil is in the details. Insurance policy or whatever, negotiations. The lawyer looks very carefully at the wording because you don't want to go into something, then later you lose all your money. Very, very careful. So what to speak of describing God, Vyasadeva, Valmiki, they're going to use very select terminology because they're dealing with the Supreme Person. I'm over time by 1 minute. Please forgive me. Let's end by chanting the Maha Mantra. Thank you. Thank you.